All right, we'll be in Genesis chapter 3 this morning. Genesis chapter 3. All right. I think this is one of the most important chapters of the entire Bible. And I think a lot of times we read it over quickly. You know, sometimes if you're getting in that reading plan of trying to read the whole Bible, this will be in one of the first couple days. You read it. And I think a lot of times we don't think about what really goes into it. You know, the first couple chapters, you know, deal with creation. Then we see the fall in chapter 3. And when you put those together, God explains a whole lot of things in just a few, you know, short verses. I mean, he explains a lot of what's going on. But I think we can apply it to today, and that's what I want to do. So Genesis chapter 3, and I'll tell you what, Vacation Bible School is a blessing. God blessed it. I'm thankful for that. The mission trip was a blessing. God was able to use us in a great way. And I'm just thankful that, I was doing the bulletin and looking at the upcoming events, and I didn't have as much, and that was a good thing for a little bit. We can take a break and kind of do some of our normal worship. But I'm glad we can dig into God's Word, aren't you? I'm glad, this Word, I was thinking about it this morning. I had a class in seminary that taught me that the Old Testament is only good for history. And I'm glad that's a lie. That is not true. It is good for history, but it's also good for learning things, for moral things, for spiritual things, for what God expects. And that's what I want to do. So Genesis chapter 3, we'll start in verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which God, the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Lord, we thank you again for your word. Thank you for its truth, Lord. I pray that you'd help me to preach this morning. Lord, help us to dig into your word. Lord, help us not just to go into our heads, but to go into our hearts. And Lord, I ask that you'd fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit. Lord, teach us today, but Lord, also move us when we need moved. Lord, if there's any lost, I pray they'd come to know you before it's too late. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen.
Amen.
So like I said, I believe this is one of the most important chapters of the Bible because it explains the shift between where everything was good in the first two chapters with creation to where now there's an evil world just like we live in today. But I want to look at just a couple verses in chapter 2 before we get to chapter 3. So 2 verse 15 says, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So Adam was placed in the Garden of Eden, and that's where he was home. That's where God put him. And remember, the thorns and thistles don't come until chapter 3, verse 18. And then verse 19 of chapter 3, the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread. So God creates Adam to serve. He gives him a wife to serve with him so he wouldn't be alone. And in fact, being alone is the only thing that God said was not good from the previous chapter. It wasn't good for man to live alone. But there they are. God has placed him in the garden. He's given him a wife. Verse 24 of chapter 2, they're married and they become one flesh. We know that it wasn't until after they sinned in chapter 3, verse 8, that they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God when they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day. So we get some details about their life before the fall, and I think that's important. Before sin entered into the world, there was no thorns. There's no thistles, no curse, no death, no sickness, no pain, just a man and a woman married together, serving God together. Amen? That's what it was like. They're serving the Lord. Their job was to dress and to keep the garden, which means they were to protect it. God gave them that responsibility. They were to keep it going, to keep it beautiful. Gardening's hard work today, right? If any of you do that, it's hard work. Why? Because everything's trying to kill what you plant, right? The weeds, the insects, everything else. Well, guess what? Before death, you don't have that problem. Right? You don't have that issue. So gardening would have been a lot easier than it was today. And they're serving together. And the Bible says at times the Lord would come walking in the cool of the day. He would seek out Adam and Eve to check on them, to visit with them, to talk with them, and to look at their service and everything else, to spend time with them. So here is Adam and Eve. They're enjoying this beautiful garden. They're enjoying the fruit of many trees. They're enjoying the animals. They have no fear, no death, no crying, no pain. And we stop and we think about, this is the life that God created. Amen? This is what God created for them. And in fact, I believe this is what He wanted for eternity. He wanted them being in the garden, serving Him, no fear, no death, none of these things. All forever, together. And they'd be working in that same garden today, but God gave them a choice. Amen?
Yeah.
So two more verses out of chapter 2, 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die."
Yeah.
He said, you can eat of all of them except for one. He put one that was off limits, right? And He even gave them a consequence. You do that, you disobey Me, you sin against Me, you eat that one fruit, in that day thou shalt surely die. And if they would have never eaten the fruit, they'd be alive today. Amen? No death, you're still around. Amen? God gave them this command. He warned them of the consequence of their sin. It was death. And they wouldn't die instantly, but death would enter into their life and be in every part of their life. But think about this. Before death or without death, there's no cancer, no diabetes, no sickness, right? No crying, no decaying bodies, no arthritis, none of these things. All these things are tied to the curse of sin. And none of those things would have been around, right? Bodies that continued to be just as strong in the beginning as continuing on, never changing. And you know what? Without death, there's no fear either. Do you realize Adam and Eve were not afraid until after they sinned against God? That's when fear entered in. Fear is not a good thing. It's not a godly thing. It's a thing that's come because of this wicked world and because of sin and death and everything else. So God gave them a job. He gave them responsibility, right? God trusted them with the animals, with the earth, with the garden. And they were able to enjoy all these things except for one thing. And that one thing God reserved for Himself. He said, I don't want you to touch. I don't want you to have that. He gave Adam responsibility. He gave him a rule. He gave him freedom. But with that freedom, He gave him boundaries. And then He gave him a choice. Are you going to obey and serve? Or are you going to disobey and suffer the consequences? And I don't know about you. Let's see if we got some super spiritual people this morning. I don't know about you, but when I read this story, do you ever get a little angry with Adam and Eve? Right? Way to go. You messed it up for all of us. Right? How could you do this? You had one job and one rule and you went against it. I must be the only one, right? A couple of us, just a few of us, not a lot of super real spiritual people, right? They wouldn't have messed everything up. We'd still be living in the garden today, right? Women can thank Eve for painful childbirth. They can thank her for that, right? That occurs after too. But then I stopped and thought about this, and let me have you think about it. Haven't we been given a pretty similar situation than Adam and Eve? God has trusted us with the earth. He's trusted us with the animals. He's given all of us jobs to do to serve Him. He's given us rules and responsibilities, right? He's given us the freedom to choose, but He's set boundaries in our lives. And in the end, we can either obey and serve Him, right, by faith, or we can disobey and suffer the consequences. Isn't it the same thing today? Yeah, we're not in the garden. That's the big difference. But everything else I'm finding is pretty similar. We've been given choices, and guess what? We've chosen to sin against God just as much as they did. Amen. Right? In fact, you to put us in the garden, we might have sinned quicker than they did. We would have sinned in Genesis 2, chapter 2.5, right? Instead of 3. That's where we would have been. And we know this because the Bible says, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. So we've sinned. And what did our sin bring? The same thing their sin brought, death. The wages of sin is death, right? Romans says that, 6:23. So here's the deal. We can be mad at Adam and Eve because we're living in the consequences of their sin. But guess what? We're living in the consequences of our own sin as well. And we're living in the consequences of the sin all around us. Amen? And I have to remind people, right? It's an election year. We have to remind ourselves our world doesn't have an education problem. It doesn't have a political problem or a justice problem or a race problem or a crime problem or anything else you can blame. This world has a sin problem. Amen. And sinful hearts will do sinful things. Amen. And when sin always brings death, that's what the Bible says. So that fear and death and everything else, where sin occurs, death will soon follow behind. So we can blame Adam and Eve for ruining this world and sinning against God, but we've done the same thing. We got to look at ourselves. Yeah. And this chapter, I told you, is important. And one of the reasons why I believe it's so important is we see the tactics of the devil, right? We see how he attacks, how he entices Eve to disobey God. And just in case you're wondering who the serpent is, Revelation 12:9, Revelation 20 verse 2, and Ezekiel chapter 28 all tell us that that old serpent is Satan. So if you were wondering who it was, I'll give you it. That's who he is. So Satan uses, I believe, the exact same tactics he used against Eve way back then, he still uses today. Mike, are you sure about that? Yeah. Why? Because they work. They still work. Amen? Unfortunately, we listen to these things. We give in to these things. We know that Eve had the word of God because Adam had given it to her. Adam taught her what God had said, which is what husbands need to be doing, helping their wives learn the word of God and living it out. So verse 1 of chapter 3, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, listen to this, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Yea, hath God said, is just like us saying, did God really say... fill in the blank, right? Did God really say that? Is that really in the Bible, right? You know what I'm hearing today? A favorite of people that don't want to believe and trust what the Bible says. They'll say, well, Mike, that's kind of an obscure passage. It's not, I'm not exactly sure what that means. And you know what? I'd rather go to the other passage that says Jesus is love. And I'm like... where? Jesus' love over all things, over sin. He loves everything. He loves you. He loves me. He loves when we rebel against God. He loves when we sin. Where's that at? That's not in there. But what a lot of times they're doing is they're saying, well, I don't quite understand it. Yes, you do. Amen?
Amen.
What? I mean, imagine Eve saying this. Well, you know, I'm not sure what God really said when he said you can eat of any tree except for that one. It, kind of an obscure thing, right? I don't know if God really meant it that way. You know, maybe it's lost in translation or something like that. We're kidding ourselves. But this is what the devil's doing right off the bat. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to introduce doubt in God's word. Amen? Are you seeing that today? Are there people out there that want you to doubt the Bible that you have in your hand? Yes. Who's behind all of that? It's the devil. Lucifer. Amen. The old serpent, the same one. He's the one. He wants us to question everything that God said. Because as soon as Eve replaces God's word, she can use her own mind. That's what the devil wants. Use your own mind. Use your own logic, your intellect, and everything else. And here's the thing. Until God calls me home, I'm going to be preaching one thing that we've got to get in our Bible and know what it says and believe it and trust it and live it every day of our life. Because why? The devil's attacking it from every side. He wants you and I to question the Bible. And unfortunately, a lot of our brothers and sisters in Christ have bought into that deception. Amen? It makes me sick when I hear people that say, well, Mike, the Bible we have today, it's got problems with it. Now, the original was error-free, right? The original nobody's got anymore, right? That was error-free. And I'd say, no, that's your logic. That's your thinking, right? They'll try to explain to you, but you don't understand. In order for us to get this Bible that we have today, first there was an original in a different language, right? It has to be copied over and over again because, you know, the paper and stuff that it's written on decays and they have to keep making copies. And, you know, maybe they're starting to make some errors in the copies, you know, because one man is doing it and man's not perfect. And then when they got to translate from, you know, Hebrew to Latin and from Latin to this and all the way to English, that's a lot of different translations you got to go through. So there's no way that what we have here today could be perfect. That is what they'll get you to try to believe. Amen?
That's right.
And that argument is completely in logic. Logically, could this possibly still be the right thing? Logically, probably not. But guess what? I'm not living my life on logic. Amen? I'm living my life on the Word of God, right? And here is what God said about His Word. Psalms 12, 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Whose job is it to keep the word pure and preserved? Not mine. Not yours. Not the scribes copying it over and over again. Not the translators. None of them. Because they could be, that can be problematic. You know whose job it is to keep this word pure and preserved forever? His job. I trust the Lord that He can keep His word pure when He said He would. Amen? If He can keep my heart and soul pure in this dirty world, He can surely keep His word pure. Amen? Drop the logic. Amen? It's hard for me to do. I understand. I'm a logic person. He's given it to us. And I'll tell you what, if you think the Bible is full of errors, you are spiritually sick. You need to go to the physician. Amen? That's just how it is. Because as soon as you start questioning this, the devil's got, you're opening the door to the devil. That's what he started with. Did God really say this? Amen? Yea, hath God said. And if that question's coming into your mind, that's not God asking it. It's the same devil.
Right.
The same one is trying to get in your head as well. Verses 2 and 3. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So here is how Eve responds to the devil's question. She responds with the word of God, which is exactly what we need to do. Amen? That's what Jesus did. That's what we've got to do. But she added some words in verse 3. Neither shall ye touch it. God never said that. And you're thinking, well, that's not a big deal, right? She just added a couple things, five words, no big deal in the conversation. But guess what? At some point in Genesis chapter 3, she touches that fruit before eating it. Right? She's got it in her hand. And what didn't happen when she had it in her hand? Nothing happened.
That's right.
So if she changed God's word to say, if you eat of it or touch it, you'll die, and she touches it and nothing happens, she's questioning God's word. Amen? Oh, Mike, it doesn't matter if we add to it or change it or modify it or whatever. Yes, it does. Amen? It changes everything. The devil loved it. Her misquoting God's word. Because he can use that. Right? That's why we've got to get the real word in our head. You know what happens a lot of times? I get people that are mulling over. They're in this Eve scenario where they're mulling over some kind of sin, some kind of sinful lifestyle. They know what the truth is, but they're trying to get it. They're trying to find a loophole so that, you know, they come to the lawyer. They're trying to get a loophole to get around it. You know, maybe I can get God to be okay with it. And they always start with this question. Does the Bible really say? And when I hear that, I'm sure you hear it too, Jimmy. I'm like, what does it say? Don't come to me for that. You see what it says. Amen? This is not Pastor Mike's word. This is God's word. I'm not so privileged that I'm the only one that can explain this to you. Now, other churches will say that. And other religions will say that. No. There's no private interpretation of the scripture. You know what there is? There's opening up and getting into it and asking God for help. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
If you're questioning whether the Bible says something, get in there and figure it out for yourself.
Right.
Amen? Amen? Now, if you need help, come to me. But don't you dare come to me and say, well, does it really say in the Bible that God says never to judge anybody? Get out of here. Get in the Bible. Amen? The devil's going to lead you so far astray out here, you won't even know what hit you. And you'll wake up saying, I'm an idiot, we're all old-fashioned and everything else, and you'll be so deep in sin, the devil will have you so corrupted in your mind, you'll be supporting things that are so sinful and wicked that God hates, and you'll never know what hit you because you didn't get in the truth yourself. Amen?
Amen.
You've got to get in the Word yourself. Because we're only coming in here a short amount of time. Facebook talks to you all day, every day. Amen? Yeah. YouTube talks to you. The news talks to you. Everything else is in your ear and in your eyes all day long. We've got to get the Word of God
amen.
In our mind.
Amen.
I'm not changing. Amen?
Yeah.
This is what he's doing. She added, neither touch it. So here's what the devil, if he can't get you to abandon God's Word, he wants to get you to tweak it, right? I looked it up today. I had a number in my head. How many English translations of the Bible do you think there are? I had a guesstimate in my head. And when I saw the real number, I about threw up. There's over 900. Why? Why? Why is there 900? Because the devil said, if you'll change things, you can do whatever you want.
Right.
If you want to live a wicked lifestyle, there are Bibles out there for your wicked lifestyle. Amen? They're out there.
Yeah.
If you want to get a version that introduces doubt into something that's plain, they're out there. Amen? I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. But you got to be careful the Bible that you're reading and listening to. And if you're listening to someone who's correcting Bible passages, turn it off. Amen?
Amen?
That's a red flag. The Bible doesn't need corrected. God himself said it's pure and preserved.
Amen.
I made it pure and I'm preserving it. And
Amen.
If he's doing that, it's good enough.
Yes.
Let's keep going. Sorry. Sorry, not sorry. Verse 4. The serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now what's the devil do? He pulls out all the stops. He just calls God a liar. Right? God's a liar. He's not telling you the truth. Right? And then goes on and saying God's hiding something from you. God's keeping something from you. You can't live your best life listening to God. Right? He will hold you back. Now, how many people have that going on in their head right now? Amen? If I live the life according to God's word, if I live the life according to how my parents raised me, if I live a godly and holy life, it will be not as good of a life as if I go and live it how I want. That's the prodigal son before he left. Right. Amen?
Right.
There's a better country. That's dangerous. He's calling, the devil is calling God a liar. And the devil's the father of lies. That's what the Bible says. But here's don't forget the devil's motives. He does not want you to obey God at all, ever. He doesn't want you to obey God's word. He wants you to do things your own way because he knows how destructive it is. And if he can get Eve to doubt God, or he can get you to doubt God, or doubt his motives, or doubt his plan, or doubt his character, or doubt the fact that he exists altogether, right? Then God's word becomes useless at that point. God's a liar. The devil becomes true, right? And you become your own God. That's what the devil wanted from the beginning. Remember, this isn't the first sin in Genesis chapter 3. Later on in the Bible, we find out that the devil wanted to put his throne above God's throne. He wanted to be in charge. He wanted to be worshipped. And God knocked that down really quick. But the devil's trying to get us to do the same thing he's already failed with. Put our throne above God's throne, right? Us be in charge. We make the decisions. We call the shots. We say what's right and what's wrong. We make the plan for our life. It's so destructive. Amen?
Yeah.
You can see it in other people, what happens when they go and make themselves God. But we don't always see it in our own life.
Right.
We do the same thing. Right? This is what he wants. Doubt everything. He wants mankind to follow him in rebellion against God. Not because he cares about you and me. He doesn't. He hates us. He just wants to jab God even more. Look at who you created. Look at who you died for. Look at who you love. Look at who you show mercy to. And they think you're the problem. And he's laughing about it. Verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So the devil introduced doubt into God's word, introduced doubt into God itself, and now this is Eve's logic taking over. This is her mind. What's she saying? It looks good for food, right? It tastes good, and it looks like it tastes good, and I'm hungry, right? It looks pleasant to the eyes. This fruit, it's really beautiful. It's got to be good. And it looks like a tree that will actually make me wiser. Which means she fell for the devil's lie. That's what he said. It'll make you wise. Right? Look at it. Look at that tree. Doesn't it look nice? It will help you. It will make your life better. Your life will never be the same. You'll gain wisdom from it, right? It'll be a better life than the life you had before. Every bit of it was a lie, right? We know the rest of the chapter.
Right.
The rest of their lives are worse. Yeah, she might have gained some knowledge, but she gained some knowledge about sin and evil and wickedness and death. And all those things are bad, and fear was introduced. He lied about everything, and she bought into the lies. Are you doing the same thing today? Are you buying into the lies? Are you seeing people around you that are buying into the lies? This is why we are so desperately clinging to the truth when other churches want to pack the pews by being open and affirming and saying everything's great. I refuse to do that because I know how dangerous and how deadly and how bad the consequences of sin are. We're fighting a battle here. But some of you are listening to the devil instead of listening to God's word. And all you're doing is verse 6. Verse 6 for Eve was quick. I don't think she thought about it a whole lot of time. Maybe you're holding out verse 6 a little longer. But if you're not careful, logic will always turn you in a direction away from God. Always. The devil So when we're reading God's word, or you're hearing it from someone, a preacher, teacher, or maybe somebody's witnessing and gives you some truth of scripture, and you're sitting there mulling it over, that's the devil wanting to insert himself into the conversation, just like Genesis chapter 3. So Eve ended up eating the fruit, and so did Adam. That sin brought the curse. It brought death. But I'm glad the story doesn't end there. Amen?
Amen.
Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Before Adam and Eve knew anything about sin, before they knew they were separated from God, I'm glad there was already a plan in heaven that was already made to deal with sin. Right? God himself, Jesus Christ, came down, was born of a virgin, born as a man, fully God, lived a sinless life, which we couldn't do, right? We already made that clear. And he took our place. Amen? He died in our place. The innocent died for the guilty, so we could find forgiveness of sins. But here's where the devil comes in, right? You hear it over and over again. You hear the gospel. You hear about how God has given a plan for your life and you need to serve him with your life. You've heard these things over and over again. But maybe you're questioning in your mind, does that verse really say what it means? To know to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Does it really mean that? Is that really what God's trying to say? Or does he just want the best life for me the way I want to live it? That's Genesis 3. And he does this over and over and over again. Think about the last times you and I have fallen for sin. Why did we fall? Now, we can't blame the devil because we made the choice. Just like Eve, they'll try to blame everybody else, but it was them making the choice. Why did we do these things? It's the same thing. We had little doubt with God's word, or we just didn't use God's word when we made the decision. Right? Or we tried to kind of tweak it a little bit for my life. You know, God understands if I live this way. No, he doesn't. No. Or then we just question God's character at all. And I think that's the worst one. And I see a lot of people down that road. God, if the world is this bad, then obviously God's not powerful enough, or he's not truly good, or he just doesn't care. That's what a lot of people will say. No, God's given us a choice and we're living in the consequences.
Amen.
Of it.
That's right.
But he wants a relationship with us.
Yeah.
And a love relationship is by choice. Amen? This is not an arranged marriage. This relationship, if you have one with Jesus Christ, or you want, it's not an arranged marriage. He's done the work. He's died for you. He loves you. He's shown you more love, and we've shown him nothing in return. And he's saying, I love you so much, I want a relationship with you. That's real love,
yeah.
Right? But the devil doesn't want that.
Right.
He wants you to live your own life, this vapor of life that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. Live your own way. But one day, the problem is you'll open up your eyes in hell, and the Bible says you will see the devil for who he really is. Those in hell will see him for who he really is, and the Bible says they'll look narrowly on him. And they'll say, this is the one that did us deceive the nations? He's the one? Because they've already seen Jesus Christ who cast them.
Yeah.
And then they're going to see the devil and they'll say, he's the one? We followed him instead of following him? Don't buy into his lies. The only way you won't is this. You have to be in this every day. Look, we're in all kinds of things every day. We need to be in this every day.
Amen.
Studying it. Amen? And we got to live it every day. Then we have a chance when the devil comes at us. Right? Because he will over and over again. What did he do with Jesus? He tempted him in the wilderness. But he went away for a season. That means he came back and was tempting him more.
And what did Jesus respond every time? He took the word and responded with the word. Not logic. He gave him the word. That's the same thing. You and I, if we have any chance against going against the devil, it's by this right here. If we have any chance of living a life pleasing to God, it's this right here. If we have any chance of getting to heaven, it's this right here. And this is pure and preserved and perfect. Put away everything else until you've gotten into this. Amen? Because otherwise you'll be like Adam and Eve and find yourselves outside the garden saying, look what I lost. Look what I threw away. God does not want what we have going on right now. That was never His will. But guess what? For those of us that are saved, we can get back to His will. Because one day He's going to call us home to heaven. And we're going to be back where it should have been if sin would have never entered in. Because He died for our sins. I'm going to ask everyone to stand.